For centuries, the western reach of Chinese culture has been the ragged edge of the Tibetan plateau. There are mountains that have never been scaled. In villages, ethnic Tibetans cling to ancient traditions. Some of Asia's greatest rivers originate there. China wants a series of huge parks and reserves in the region, and to help plan them, they've turned to a team of Americans. With their Chinese colleagues, they've discovered a unique place where landscape and culture are inseparable. In this NPR National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's Christopher Joyce joins the Yunnan Great Rivers Project.
You don't have to go to Tibet to be in Tibet. This is China, Yunnan Province, on the eastern edge of the Himalayas. The town is Dachin, in a deep valley near the Meili Snow Mountains. At the marketplace, women sell cabbages and live chickens. Monks sit and chant thousand-year-old prayers. This is the true face of Western China, according to Rose Niu. She grew up near here and now works for the Great Rivers Project.
Those local culture are very colorful, very interesting. They have a lot of philosophies and religion beliefs between the relationship between human beings and nature. Most of the minority religions believe that human beings are part of the nature and they are brothers and sisters with the nature.
This region has passed from Mongol to Muslim to Buddhist to Communist Chinese. In Yunnan province alone, 25 ethnic groups have endured the march of armies. This place is Tibetan. The government banned logging here because of erosion. Now it wants parks, wildlife, and tourists.
My name is Edward Norton, and I'm the senior advisor to the Yunnan Great Rivers Project.
Ed Norton works for the Nature Conservancy, the American partner in the project.
The landscape of northwest Yunnan is characterized by these four great rivers that plunge off the Tibetan Plateau, running north and south, and are separated by five high mountain ranges. You have the great variation in elevation and also the other climatic factors. Those combine to create an area of extraordinary biodiversity.
The Yunnan government envisions its own Yellowstone here. Officials convened a conference in Dachin to talk about conservation. Scientists described the endangered golden monkey and the black-necked crane. Bureaucrats talked about roads and hotels. And Tibetan farmers came, with barley seed still clinging to the cuffs of their woolen trousers. Make your maps, they told the scientists, but look beyond what you can see and touch. It's time to leave Dachin on a mapping expedition. Our driver, Nima, is like most Tibetans. He has a song for every occasion. In this case, it's a drive on a narrow dirt road with unbelievable 5,000-foot cliffs over the side. We cross the Mekong River, a roiling tube of muddy water and more cliffs. Eventually, blissfully, the road ends in a simple trail. It's the path pilgrims take to the sacred mountain called Kawagabo. Expedition leader Bob Mosley of the Nature Conservancy traces our journey on a map.
Along the east slope of the Meili Snow Range, we drove from Dachin this morning, around the corner, down into the Mekong Valley.
We follow pack horses up into the mountains. Mosley and his Chinese colleagues will catalog the vegetation and the wildlife here for a conservation plan. Evergreens swarm with parakeets, feeding on pine cones the size of pineapples. We struggle up to a 12,000-foot pass, breathless. Giant rhododendrons are draped in lime-green lichen and mist. The trees look almost like wax.
is the center of diversity for rhododendrons. This is where there's more rhododendron species in this part of the world than anywhere else.
A century ago, Western botanists were amazed by plants here they'd never seen before. Their stories led to a book and a modern myth about a place called Shangri-La. We descend, finally, to the village of Yubong. Cattle and long-haired yak graze beside whitewashed farmhouses. You can stand here and stare up a valley, past a glacier, and into the flanks of two 20,000-foot peaks. Mosley and his colleagues set up a table in the middle of a corral and sit with the village leaders.
Going out into the villagers at Long Tuagabo to collect more information from the villagers and also from the landscape itself.
Mosley tells the villagers tourists might come. Village leader Tsu Rei Nubu likes that idea, but even simple things here can be complicated. Tourists would want toilets, but where to build them?
So it can't be within view of the holy mountain, and it can't be near the water.
Pilgrims who make the holy trek around these sacred mountains may earn a better life after rebirth. Those who die trying are guaranteed one. That's an appealing prospect. We follow the village leader upward. Bob Mosley is a scientist. He knows plants and animals, ecosystems. This world is more complicated. Here, a spring isn't just a spring. It's a cure for infertility. Two caves are entrances to heaven and hell. Religion and science merge. The trail passes beneath a massive rock wall. There's a glacier just over the top. Two streams fall from the precipice, a 300-foot drop that spins the water into mist.
Buddhists have come to pray here, to read their Buddhist books. So this is a very holy place. People come here when their health is bad, and they let the water wash them.
Tsu Rei Nubu walks straight into the mist and emerges into the frigid air, cleansed. Some planners want to put a cable car here for tourists. They talk of scenic values. But for these Tibetans, this place isn't scenery. It's the vessel of their faith. Biologist Craig Kirkpatrick.
The country itself is mind-bogglingly beautiful. These really tall mountains covered in snow. These really thick forests. But the real true story is the fact that we have a conservation community growing in China. And it's an indigenous community that's fighting really tremendous odds.
At the end of our visit, the village puts on a show, a dance in scarlet robes and head wraps. The dancers are local teenagers. So far, few of them have been lured to the outside world. Soon, though, the outside world will start coming to them. For Radio Expeditions, this is Christopher Joyce in Yunnan Province, China.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society.